I'm going to be reading from Acts 10, and it's verses 34 to 43. Before I read, let me pray. Dear God, thank you that you speak to us through the Bible. Please help us all, whether we're young or older, to learn more about you and to love you more today. Amen. Acts 10, starting at verse 34. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Lovely. We're going to spend a little bit of time thinking about those words that Laura read for us, that we just had read for us in Acts chapter 10. I want to say to you, welcome if you're watching online as well. This morning, I know there's a few of you who can't be here for various reasons, so welcome to you if you're watching on the live stream as well, especially families, children, welcome to you. And we're going to look at those words that Laura read for us from Acts chapter 10. Now, we're going to put the key verses, the verses we need to know, on the screen. You might like to have your Bible open next to you as well, but the main ones will be on the screen. And just as we start, we should know that these are words spoken by a man named Peter. You can see that right at the first verse there. Peter is speaking these words, and Peter was a friend of Jesus. In fact, Peter was one of the very first followers of Jesus. He was one of Jesus' very best friends. And Peter saw all the amazing things that Jesus did that our Bibles tell us about. Peter was there when Jesus was arrested before he was crucified. Peter was there when Jesus rose from the dead, and he saw Jesus many times. And he actually says that, doesn't he? Yeah, adults, if you just look at verse 39, we are witnesses of everything he did. And in verse 41, Peter ate and drank with Jesus after he rose from the dead. So Peter knew Jesus really well. And so Peter is a very good person to tell us about Jesus and what Jesus is like. Now, there's lots of things that we could learn from this part of the Bible, but I want us to see two big things that Peter tells us about Jesus. They're things that the adults have already been learning in the book of Acts, so these will be familiar, hopefully, over the last few weeks. But these are things that we need to keep remembering. So two big things to learn for us from Acts chapter 10. And the first one is that Jesus is the Lord of everyone. Jesus is the Lord of everyone. Look at what Peter says. Peter says in verse 36, "You know the message that God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." Peter says that Jesus is the Lord of all. Peter says that Jesus is the king of every single person, the ruler of everyone. He is the Lord of everyone. Now, everyone's quite difficult for us to get our heads around, isn't it? So let's see if we can have a little think about some numbers of people that Jesus might be Lord of. And I'm going to start with families. And I wonder, perhaps, if any of the children, particularly, might like to tell me how many people there are in their family. Go on, Daddy. You've got five. Fantastic. So you've got mum and dad and three boys. Excellent. Anyone else? Five here. How many have you got, Leo? Four. Brilliant. Four over there. Excellent. Lovely. Anyone? One more. Go on. You've got four as well. Four's a good number, isn't it? Four's a nice... Not that five's not. You should be careful what you say. Never ad lib. Any one more? Anybody else want to tell me how many people they got? Oh, at the back there, Abigail. Five as well. Excellent. So we've, lots of us have got different sized families, haven't we? And do you know Jesus is the Lord of every single person? He's the king of everyone in our family. How about our church family? Anybody want to tell, have a stab? How many people do you think there might be in our church family, roughly? Oh, we had you once, so we'll come back to you if no one else wants to, okay? Anybody want to have a go? Sorry? Cynthia reckons about 160. How many do you think, Jay? 300. About 300, okay, yeah. Go on about that, and then we'll come to you. What do you think? Not so sure. How many do you think, Nathan? Daniel? How many do you reckon? 180. 180? What do you think, Leo? 129, that's very precise, very good. I think it's on the screen. It's around, I hope I've got this right, it's around 200, a little bit more, but around the 200 mark. So there's 200 people-ish in our church family, and Jesus is the Lord of every single one. Let's get a bit bigger, shall we? How many people do we think there are in Preston? Anybody want to have a stab? Might be a little bit, need to be a little bit older maybe, but maybe not. Anybody hasn't had a go yet? What about Preston? Go on. 150,000, okay, 150,000. Anyone else want to go at Preston? What do you think, Aaron?
Four,
okay. Four, maybe a little bit more than four. But, yeah, good, four, okay. One more, anybody who hasn't had a go, go on at the back there. 85,000, okay, all good guesses. Actually, whoever said 150,000, you're pretty much right. I know this is controversial, depends what you count as Preston, apparently, but this is from the Lancashire.gov website, so don't shoot the messenger, this is what it said. So I know that some people might differ, but about nearly 150,000 people in Preston. Okay, and did you know that Jesus is the Lord of every single person in Preston? Okay, what about in the United Kingdom? Anybody wants to tell me how many people there are in the United Kingdom, roughly? Anne-Marie! About 71 million, okay, yeah. Any other guesses? Go on, Daniel, again. 100 million, okay, yeah. Abigail, what do you think? $150,000, good guess, yeah, excellent. Claire? 80 million in the UK. Okay, let's have the answer, shall we? It's about 68 million, roughly 68 million, maybe just slightly under. In the UK. So Anne-Marie, close, good, yeah, pretty good. Yeah, about 68 million people in the UK. And you know what? Jesus is the Lord of every single one. What about in the world? We're not going any further than the world, but what do we think? How many people are there in the world? Anybody? Adults, you can have a stab as well. 7 billion. Okay, we think about 7 billion, yeah. Yeah. Anybody else? Go on, Daniel, what do you think? 19 trillion. Maybe a little bit less than that. But good answer. What do you think, Leo?
64, 100 million.
That's a big number. Oh, you're certainly a big number, you're right. Yeah. Any other? Oh, God, what do you think? 34 in the world. That'll make the world a quiet place. What do you think, Simon?
I'm going to go with
3 billion. 3 billion. Okay. Well, the world population is about 7.9 billion, and I think we're going to have something on the screen. This is live, the world population. This is a mixture of sort of fascinating and terrifying, isn't it? This is the number of people in the world, this is currently the world population, so just over 7.9 billion. You what? Yeah. And do you know, every single person there, Jesus is the King, the Lord of every single one. You know that? And of course, not just the ones that are right there, but all the people who have ever lived and who ever will live. All those people, Jesus is the Lord of them all. He's the King of every single person. And that is amazing, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? Jesus is the Lord of all the people in your house, all the people on your street, in your school, the King of them all. And if I can speak particularly to the adults just for a moment, we've seen this so many times, haven't we, in the book of Acts over the last few weeks. Jesus is the Lord of all people. And in fact, not just that Jesus is the Lord of every person, but he's the Lord of everything He is absolutely in control of everything that happens in this world. We've seen that he's Lord of his church, whatever happens to the church, whether good or bad. Jesus is in control, and nothing can stop his gospel from being proclaimed. Jesus is Lord of all the things that actually we don't even understand, the things that look out of control to us, even all the sin and all the evil. Jesus is Lord of it all. And one day, we know, don't we, that he'll sort it out. In fact, that's what Peter says there in verse 42. Jesus is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. Jesus is in control, and that's a very good thing, isn't it? Isn't it a comfort to know that Jesus is in charge and we can trust him? So Jesus is the Lord of everyone, says Peter. Now, that's all very well, isn't it? But how do we know? How do we know that it's true that Jesus is the Lord of everyone? I mean, maybe we need some proof that Jesus is the Lord of everyone. Sometimes we have to prove things. So if I was asked to prove that I was a citizen of the United Kingdom, I could bring my passport, couldn't we? Someone would like to confer? You want to have a look at my passport? Leah, I thought you might. All right, here we go. I'd like you to, can you confirm that that's me, Leah? Is that me?
Yeah.
That is me. Thank you very much. Can you see my name? Christopher, David Young, yeah, British citizen. Yeah, is that right? Good. So I could show you this and I could prove that I'm a member of the United Kingdom. Yeah, brilliant, excellent. Sometimes you need to be able to prove something. In fact, I had to use this over the summer. In fact, I nearly wasn't let in because I was supposed to have a stamp, but that's another story. You want what? It's not a fake passport. That's outrageous. Look, it says United Kingdom of Great Britain, Northern Ireland, European Union. Oh, dear. That needs to change, isn't it? It's definitely a real passport. So sometimes you need to prove something, don't you? How did Jesus prove that he is the Lord of everybody? Do we have proof? Well, yes, we do, don't we? It's what we sang about a few minutes ago and what we've seen in our reading already. There were lots of amazing things that Jesus did that proved who he was. But there was one particularly special thing that Jesus did. The most amazing thing of all that Jesus did. Anybody like to tell me, what's the most amazing thing of all that Jesus did? What's the most amazing thing that he ever did? What do we think? Who is that over there? He died on the cross and then? He rose again. Brilliant. Jesus died on the cross and rose again. I think we've got a verse about that on the screen. There we go.
They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. See, Peter says that after Jesus died on the cross, God raised Jesus to life again, and people saw him, like Peter himself saw him. Jesus rose again from the dead, and the Bible tells us that that means he is the Lord, the King of everyone, because no one else has ever done that. No one else has ever risen from the dead. No one has beaten death. God has made Jesus the Lord, the King of all people. See, it doesn't matter where you live, or how you live, or even when you live. Jesus is the Lord of everyone. What should we do about that? We finish this little section. What should we do about that? Well, we'll see one very good thing we should do a bit later on. But for now, perhaps we should just say, wow, isn't Jesus amazing? He is the Lord of everyone, as he died and rose again. That's amazing, can't you? We can say wow to Jesus. And perhaps there's just a little challenge for us here as well. Maybe we can ask ourselves whether we've recognized Jesus as our Lord. I wonder if you know that Jesus is your Lord. Do you know that he's your King? Have you recognized the true King? Because if Jesus is the Lord of everyone, it would be good for us to treat him like he's our King, wouldn't it? So there you go, that's the first thing to remember. Jesus is the Lord of everyone. Now we're going to sing a song, and after we've sung a song, we're going to see another amazing thing about Jesus. And the song actually really helps us to begin to understand what that second thing is that we'll see, shall we? So we're going to stand, and we're going to sing God's People in God's Place, and then we'll come back to us then.
So we've seen that Jesus is the Lord of everyone.
Here's the second big thing that we need to see from Acts chapter 10. And that is that Jesus will forgive anyone. Anyone. And there's a couple of verses that we want to see from Acts 10 to see this. Jesus will forgive anyone.
How about these verses in verses 34 to 35?
Let's go back a slide, actually. There we go.
God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. So Peter says that God does not show favoritism. Now that's a slightly tricky one, isn't it? What does favoritism mean? What is favoritism? Well, for this, I want some adults to help me here for reasons that will become obvious. I wonder if I could have about four adults who are willing to come to the front and have a chance of having a little dairy milk chocolate. Oh, Vicky, yep, straight up. Okay, Claire, Jake, yeah, lovely. Okay, one more adult, please. Beth, you want to go? Oh, we've got one. Oh, great. Right. Super. Okay, I'm going to try and demonstrate what favoritism is, and please know that any offence caused is entirely for illustrative purposes, okay? Now, Vicky, would you like your chocolate? Would you like your chocolate?
Yeah, I'd love them.
Yeah, I think I'll give you one because, your fellow southerner, yeah. I like your accent. Yeah. I like it. Yeah, we're both from roughly the same place, aren't we? So I think you can have a chocolate because I like that. Yeah.
Thank you, love that. Thanks.
Yeah, lovely, okay. Thank you. Jake.
Hello.
Hey, mate. Sorry, just no, actually. No. Just,
sorry. Line.
May as well, yeah, just go off there. Off you go. Go on. Lauren, well, shall I give you a chocolate? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love it. So, actually, no, I will give you a chocolate. I'll tell you why, because you're a regular at student group, aren't you? So I know I like that. So, yeah, I think I like what you do. So why don't you can have a chocolate. Here we go. There we go. You can have a chocolate. There we go. Claire, actually, I just don't like your jumper. You can go, sit down. Go on, off you go. Go on. And Jake as well, off you go. Go on. You two can enjoy your chocolates. Enjoy. Sit down. You can have one later, I promise. There are plenty. See, that's not very nice, is it? That just was not very nice at all. Don't worry, Alex. She'll have one later, I promise. That's not the right way to behave at all, is it? Please don't behave like that. Don't copy that at all. That's what favoritism is. Favoritism means that you're nice to someone and nasty to others for no good reason at all. Maybe just because you don't like where they're from or what they look like or who they are.
Sadly, there's lots of that in our world, isn't there? There's lots of favoritism. But God
says God is not like that. That's not what God does at all. God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You see, Peter says anyone can come to God. God will accept, he will welcome any type of person. It doesn't matter what country you're from. It doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman or a boy or a girl. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter what you have got or what you haven't got. It doesn't matter what you have done or you haven't done. God will welcome anyone. And we'll see why that is in a minute. And again, if I can just speak to the adults particularly too, that's so important for us to remember, isn't it? So important for how we treat each other. So important for how we welcome other people into church. No favoritism for Christian believers. God, says Peter, does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. But what does Peter mean by when he says that God accepts every person who does what is right? What is this right thing that God wants us to do? Well, Peter tells us that as well, and it's the last thing we're going to see from Acts chapter 10.
All the prophets, says Peter, testify about him, that everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins through his name. See, what is it that God wants us to do? How will he accept us? He wants us to believe in Jesus. Because everyone who believes in Jesus has their sins forgiven. Now we need to understand this just a little bit better. I wonder if anyone can tell me perhaps what they think sin means. Some of you might have learned about this in junior church, or could be an analysis. What does sin mean? What does it mean when we sin? Oh, yeah, the man. I didn't quite catch the push out. Okay, when we disobey God, fantastic, thank you, yeah. When we disobey God, yeah. Anyone else? Go on then. Okay, so you've learned another thing, haven't you? Show off God, I'm in charge, no to your rules, yeah. So when we put ourselves in the place of God and say we don't want to do what he says, yeah, brilliant. Yeah, Liam. Perfect, thank you very much. When we do what God doesn't want us to do, all brilliant answers. Thank you, yeah. Sin is when we don't love God like we should, isn't it? Like when we don't listen to what he says in the Bible, like when we're nasty to someone else, maybe when we say things we shouldn't say or do things we shouldn't do. Times when we act like we're God and not God. Sin is all the ways we live that God doesn't want us to live. And that means that we've all sinned, doesn't it? That means me, certainly I have, and I need God to forgive me. And forgiveness means that then we won't be in trouble with God for our sins, even though we deserve to be. This verse tells us that everyone who believes in Jesus has their sins forgiven. Now, we need to go back to our chocolates. I'm really nervous. I'm going to be nice this time. I wonder if there are any children, parents permitting, parents permitting, you might have a chocolate bar. I promise I'll be nice. All you have to do is believe that I will give you a chocolate when you come. All you need to do is just believe me, and you'll get one. Okay? If I run out, I've got plenty more. Okay? And do you believe I'll give you one? I thought you might. Do you believe I will? Yes. Do you believe I will as well? Yeah, okay. I think I believe you. Do you believe I will? Yeah, excellent. Do you think I will? Do you believe I will? Do you think so? Yeah. Do you believe? Do you think I will? Yeah. Together as we finish. Oh, loving Father, thank you so much for teaching us from the book of Acts. Thank you for those reminders, perhaps truths we know very well, that Jesus is the Lord of every person everywhere. We're amazed at him and how awesome he is and how he's the king of everyone. And we're amazed that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven. Thank you for the reminder of that truth. Pray that we believe it and rejoice in it and help us to live with him as our king this week. In his name we ask. Amen.